Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. You may have noticed in this presidential primary season that what seemed like about half of the members of Congress were at one time or another either running for president or endorsing one of their colleagues who was. And just about every one of them was for change. As you may have also noticed, all of the candidates left standing at the moment are trying to outdo one another in expressing how much for change they really are. Meanwhile, back in Washington, far from the campaign trail and the calls for change for the good, it's business as usual in Congress. So today, let's take a look at a couple of bills working their way through Congress while everyone's eyes are focused elsewhere during primary season, bills that will affect your life and mine, and those of our college students, as we go about our cyber business. The first juicy morsel is the College Opportunity and Affordability Act of 2007, which the House recently passed. Sounds like a pretty great idea, promoting opportunities to go to college and making it more affordable. And indeed, the bill deals with things like Pell Grants and so forth that do just that. But the bill also has a few surprises in it, surprises that colleges are finding very unappealing. One such surprise is the direction that colleges, quote, develop a plan for offering alternatives to illegal downloading or peer-to-peer distribution of intellectual property, as well as a plan to explore technology-based deterrence to prevent such illegal activity. End quote. In plain English, that most of us can understand, that means that the bill is essentially telling colleges that they have to somehow set up plans to open a store, or contract with an existing one, through which college students could download movies that have been paid for, and that colleges should plan to install content filters on their networks to keep students from being able to download movies or other copyrighted content, and possibly even to prevent file sharing of legitimate material over P2P networks. Colleges say this latter requirement would cost up to $6 billion for all the colleges in the U.S. to implement. Interestingly, the bill allocates zero for that purpose. What, you may ask, does this have to do with college opportunity or college affordability? Well, the truthful answer is not much. In fact, nothing. But this was a place where the Motion Picture Association of America could get its licks in against what it views as quote-unquote piracy of movies by college students. A little history is in order here. Back in 2005, the MPAA commissioned a study that concluded that college students were responsible for 44% of the supposed losses that movie companies claimed they were suffering due to quote-unquote piracy. The report's results stirred up calls for action in Congress. Unfortunately, the actual report and its methodology were not released, only the conclusions. Nonetheless, the House bought the reported results and sprang into action. And one result is the College Opportunity and Affordability Act of 2007, which recently passed the House by a large margin. There's only one problem. It turns out that the results of that study were off by about 300%, a fact only revealed 2 years later, after the bill was passed out of committee, voted on, and passed by the whole House. Why the time lag? Because the report itself was kept secret all that time by the MPAA. Instead of the supposed 44% of quote-unquote losses that college students were tagged with being responsible for, it turns out that even by the report's own somewhat tortured methodology, students accounted at most for 15% of the alleged losses. Gosh, said the MPAA, we are sorry. There was some human error in our math. Well, we all make math mistakes now and then, even 300% mistakes sometimes. Usually, however, our mistakes don't result in legislation that will cost colleges huge sums to comply with, which, some point out, might very well reduce the affordability of college for many students. Not to worry about costs, says the MPAA, which, in a magnanimous gesture, offered colleges free software that they could install to supposedly eliminate the downloading of copyrighted material over their networks. The MPAA, just coincidentally, happened to have this software in their closet as this bill made its way through Congress. Thus, the MPAA told Congress the rights of copyright holders would be respected, and colleges wouldn't have to pay for filtering software. There was only one problem. It seems the MPAA was using open source software in part of its filtering package, but refused to release the underlying code, which is, you guessed it, a violation of the open source GPL license, which is, of course, based on the very copyright law that the MPAA claims it is righteously striving to have Congress uphold against those college, quote-unquote, pirates. When they were identified as copyright violators themselves, or pirates, the MPAA folks didn't even have the decency to be red-faced as they quickly withdrew the software from their website. So, as things stand now, the bill is in the Senate, where, with any sort of luck, senators might be able to tell the difference between 44% and 15%, and perhaps even look at whether 15% is a valid number, which a number of researchers who've looked at the study methods strongly doubt. Fact-based decision-making's a big deal these days in corporate America. We'll see whether it affects Congress in the near future. Meanwhile, the phantom bill number in Congress has struck again. Several members of the House have introduced the, are you ready, Prioritizing Resources and Organization for Intellectual Property, the Pro-IP Act. Don't you just love it? Aside from its name's comedic value, however, the bill would increase penalties for unlawful copying of copyrighted works and allow for the seizure of equipment used to make copies. There are also some questionable administrative provisions which would serve, even in the opinion of a somewhat wounded Justice Department, to possibly compromise whatever independence that department has left. But let's leave those administrative matters aside for the moment. If this Pro-IP Act passes, what effect could it have on you and me? Let's start with making a copy of a CD that you bought, so you can listen to it on your MP3 player. If we assume, as the Recording Industry Association of America claims, that any copying of music, even music you bought and paid for, even for your own personal use, violates copyright, then you could be liable for up to a $150,000 fine if you copy a piece of music. At the moment, a CD is considered a compilation under the law, and therefore a single work. So you could get hit for $150,000 as a fine if you copied it. But, under the Pro-IP Act, each song would be considered a separate work, so the 10 songs, for example, on the CD could cost you $1.5 million. And to put the icing on the cake, the computer you used to make the copy could be confiscated under the proposed law. Well, you may say, no one would ever bother me, I'm a small fish. Maybe, but as we all know, the law is the law. And as we also know, it sometimes gets enforced in unpredictable ways. As usual, your congresspeople are eagerly awaiting word from you, so if you have any thoughts on these bills, it might be good to let them know. Getting hit for $1.5 million for copying a CD, even if it's a good one, may seem to some a bit high. So, while change for the good is on everyone's lips on the campaign trail, back in Washington, some changes may not appear to everyone to be for the better. But changes they are, and we'll keep trying to keep you up to date on changes that will affect our lives in Realms Electronic, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.